honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, but really appreciate those of you that have been downloading with Spotify. If not, I totally understand because it's on several different apps, but Spotify would help this show long-term because I'm working with Spotify for podcasters, basically. So it would help in a lot of ways. So other than that, thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today, as we're going to jump straight into the Timberwolves draft. We wound up with two players and, of course, free agency for the Timberwolves, and kind of like bantering about across the league and maybe other trade rumors and conversations and all that. For those of you living in a cave, Karl-Anthony Towns is still on the Timberwolves. So, yep, nope, I wasn't about to say Karl-Anthony Towns has been traded. So, nope, Anthony Edwards has inked a max extension. So, now we have two players with max extensions. And we have Rudy Gobert making a too much. Yeah. So, well, we're going to have to wait and see how things go with Jaden McDaniels and others going forward. We're going to look at how the draft went and such, and of course talk about the two players the Timberwolves acquired, which is always very exciting and very fun, trading away future second round picks to move up in the first round, or to get an extra second round pick very early in the second round, to take a very intriguing player who not too long ago was actually projected to go in the first round. That'd be Leonard Miller. And wound up also with Jalen Clark, who Ben Beacon of Locked On Timberwolves wanted all along at the 53rd pick. So Jalen Clark coming in out of UCLA, very talented north-south kind of guy, phenomenal defensive player who had unfortunately an Achilles tear. So he's not going to be available until much later. I don't think he's going to be out for years and years. That's the good part. He'll be around December, January-ish is the conversation, or at least be able to resume playing or kind of like resume practicing and such. So I don't know. It's like you wait forever just to practice, and then you practice for like 15 years, and then by the time you're about 35 years old, you finally play your first game, and then you're too old and you retire 2 years later. Yeah, okay, anyhow. Hopefully it doesn't wind up that way. I'm just bullcrapping around, but sometimes the injuries and the recovery is a little ridiculous. So yeah, we're kind of here to do that. We're going to hear what you have to say in segment two. This is a two-segment shot, free agency 2023 edition. And, of course, we'll look around with the salary cap situation with the Wolves and all that as well. That's always extremely important. I know I get into that off and on during the season. I get into that a ton during the off season, and this is no exception. Hoops hype as well will be my hoops hype is who I will cite with the salary conversation and such. The Anthony Edwards contract has not been added yet because we're going to have to wait and see whether Anthony Edwards will wind up with what size contract it'll be. I guess I'll open up with that. Anthony Edwards signed a max extension. It'll be 5 years extra, five more years. $217 million if Anthony Edwards does not make an All-NBA team in the next year. Otherwise, it'll be $260. Karl-Anthony Towns ended up getting that super max because he was able to squeeze into the third team when the time was right, and he's making a super amount of money. In fact, a $62 million player option in 27-28. So it is what it is. If you want to trade Karl-Anthony Towns, you better do it pretty soon. Otherwise, the $50 million contract starts next season. $50 million, $54, $58, respectively, and then $62 after that as a player option. Can you imagine a human being opting out of $62 million just to say, I want to be a free agent? $62 million for one single season. That is laughable beyond belief. Naz Reid also signed an extension. We'll get to that right now as well. So instead of the draft, we'll just open up with that. I'm very happy to have Naz Reid back. It is a two-year extension, so it's not this, or excuse me, three-year extension. The Minnesota Timberwolves don't have to deal with the Parisian Suter contract, but they do have to deal with Rudy Gobert, Carl Anthony Towns' contract. That's Parisian Suter-like. Oh, and Anthony Edwards' contract's going to kick in as well, coming up pretty soon here. So it is what it is. Mike Conley will come off the books, $24,360,000. I actually wasn't even going to jump into this yet. I'll come back to it. I hope I do. Kyle Anderson, 9 minutes. Okay, yeah. We'll get off of that. But Naz Reid will be back. That's the good part. I'll get to this right now, and I'll probably come back to it in a little bit. $12,950,000 the first year, basically $14 million the second year, and $15 million the third year. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, a player option for Naz Reid. So he could opt out if he wants to get longer term. Otherwise, again, turning down $15 million isn't really common unless you're like way up there, you know, on the totem pole looking for, you know, $35 million or something crazy. Or, well, let's just say $20 million or something. Seems like not all that long ago, $20 million was considered freaking ridiculous in sports and even in the NBA, where it's like, come on, you greedy son of a blank. You know, if you can't come down off the $20 million threshold, maybe you're just too greedy and you're hogging the whole damn cap. Now we're talking 50 to 60. Yeah. Rant. Rant anyone? Anyone want to rant about that? I don't blame you. Jordan okay, I'll get back to that. I need to get to the draft now. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's ADD or what my deal is when it comes to this. But the Minnesota Timberwolves indeed traded up in the first round. Sorry, I don't know why I'm doing that. It would have been the Spurs pick. 33rd pick overall. The third pick in. I don't know why it's the Spurs there when the number one, but I don't know. I guess they had the third worst record, but wound up winning the lottery. And Victor Wembanyama. I think I got it. Wembanyama. I'm not going to get into the Britney Spears controversy because I don't give a bleep about Britney Spears or Taylor Swift or anybody else or Eminem either. Sorry to offend all of you, but I'm not interested. If you want to talk about those people, get your own show. Sorry. But the Timberwolves do trade up to the 33rd pick. It's funny how they still show it as a mock draft. That's funny. And that the Wolves would take Julian Phillips. But they traded up to take that guy. They traded up to take Leonard Miller. So, okay. The mock draft projected Leonard Miller to go to Michael Jordan's soon-to-be former club, the Charlotte Hornets, at 27th overall. I'm not sure the sale is complete, but maybe it is. Either way, yeah, it's too bad. That the one thing Michael Jordan failed at is the after basketball playing world, unfortunately. It's too bad. It sucks seeing him fail, but I guess maybe he's just, as Greg Ostertag said on a Minnesota Wild podcast, that basically the guy was a dick. So I don't like saying that about Michael Jordan, but I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was. Especially when you're in competitive mode, I can be a dick too. I don't want to bleep and you lose. Get out of my way. Anyhow, Leonard Miller was projected to go 27th to the Charlotte Hornets. Long story longer. And now comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves with the 33rd overall pick and the third pick in the draft. Multiple second-rounders heading to the Spurs, who are hopefully, for their sake, going to be okay with Victor Wembanyama as their guy. 7'4", 7'5". Looks like a phenom. Everybody's excited. And you know what? Good for him. Sounds like a cool guy. I'm not rooting against him at all. Not at all. The actual pick-by-pick and everything, maybe we could go through it really quick. Victor went number one. Brandon Miller, number two. Scoot Henderson, number three. Looks awesome. And Miller also played with the G League Ignite, so he played with Scoot Henderson. Pretty cool. Not a ton of trades, at least not for a little while, but eventually they happened a bit. Lots of G League teams, which is really interesting, though. Lots of G League players. Amen Thompson, Amen Brother, and Osser Thompson, two twins going back-to-back to the Rockets and the Pistons. Great teams, great franchises the last 5 years, but yep, they're going to go to those two teams, regardless if they're great or not, back-to-back. Twins going back-to-back, Amen Thompson and Osser Thompson. So Amen Thompson has the bragging rights to going slightly ahead. Anthony Black went to the Magic, coming out of Arkansas. Pacers, Bilal, interesting. Bilal, huh? I know somebody named Bilal from India. Kulabi, Metropolitan 92 traded to the Wizards. The Wizards get Jairus Walker coming out of Houston, the Bice Lamajama, traded to the Pacers. So a little bit of flip-flop going on there. Might as well run for public office. Anyhow, the Jazz draft. They actually drafted Taylor Hendricks out of UCF, University of Central Florida. That's pretty high for a Central Florida player, but cool. And I know, he's a good player. Mavericks, Kaysen Wallace to Kentucky, traded to the Thunder. 11th Magic again, Jet Howard, cool name, Michigan. Howard in Michigan, interesting. Thunder, Derek Lively II, he's so lively, there's two of them. From Duke, traded to the Mavs, good for him, that was the Thunder. Grady Dick. Okay, you insert your joke there. Kansas, 13th to the Raptors. Pelicans, Jordan Hawkins, 14th overall, Connecticut, University of Connecticut, yay, national champions. Go away, I hate Connecticut. Anyhow, Hawks, what a shock that I made that mistake. The Hawks, 15th overall, Kobe Bufkin out of Michigan, cool. Jazz, 16th overall, Keontae George, Baylor. 17th, the Lakers draft Jalen Hood. Schifino, say that fast three times, coming out of Indiana. The Heat draft Jamie Jacquez Jr. out of UCLA. The Warriors take Brandon Baldinski, Santa Clara. I don't know why I'm reading all these, but what the hell. Rockets draw Cam Whitmore. Nets, Noah Clowney. Derek Whitehead out of Duke to the Nets. Blazers, Chris Murray. Oliver Maxence Prosper out of Marquette to the Kings, but traded to the Mavericks. Grizzlies, Marcus Sasser traded to the Pistons. Ben Shepherd, Belmont, sounds like Castlevania there in the early days. He's a Belmont. Ben Shepherd, Pacers, 26th overall. Nick Smith Jr. The Hornets, though, they passed on Leonard Miller, those sons of guns. We'll see who wins that one. Okay, sorry. Nick Smith Jr., Arkansas. Bryce Sansabaugh for the Jazz from Ohio State. Pacers, Julian Strother, Gonzaga, traded to the world champion. It sounds good for them, I guess, not for the rest of us. Denver Nuggets, Los Angeles Clippers draft Kobe Brown, so a couple of Kobes. I'm sure there's going to be many more of those in the future, and I've babbled enough. Okay, so we're done with that. Leonard Miller coming to the Wolves. I am so sorry for going on as long as I did. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm crazy, and I can't help myself sometimes. But Leonard Miller, extremely intriguing pick. Again, I'm really sorry for reading all those out. I hope that didn't annoy you too much. Birthday, November 26th, 2003. He is less than 20 years old, which is obviously a wonderful thing. Fort Erie International Academy. That's the high school. According to NBADraft.net, he is a 90 overall grade with athleticism as an 8, size 8, defense 8. Yes, he's definitely a good defender. He's a worthwhile player. He's got a funky shot, particularly outside. They go in, but it needs improvement. What was he, like 30% from downtown last season? His first season and his only season in the G League, did not go to college. He was going to, and then he's like, nah, and then wound up in the G League instead. So it's an interesting route that players are taking now on some very talented young players. I remember Simon Simmons of Portland went the G League route. He was one of the first guys who was like a, you know, fairly touted player going to the NBA straight out of the G League. 24 games, he started 19. Again, he is a 6'10" power forward who can play center. Double-double machine, and he's not a slow guy. He's not like Hashim Thabeet or anything like that. He's got, it's a combination of really good ball handling and occasionally like, oh, whoops, you know, and getting the ball stripped. So there's obviously incredible talent there. God, it's weird saying Frank Vogel is head coach of the Phoenix Suns. Frank Vogel's the coach of the Suns. It's so weird. It's weird. Really weird. Back to Leonard Miller, though. He shot 60% from two-point range, which is crazy. Nice mid-range, but also attacks the basket with reckless abandon, so to speak. I guess he did up it a little bit. almost 33% from downtown, but only attempted 2 a game, approximately. Free throw percentage, here we go, not bad, almost 80%, over 79, so that's nice. 18 points, 11 rebounds, and of course progressed during the course of the season. A very, very willing defender. Less than a block, less than a steal, but almost there for both. Didn't get a ton of fouls a game, which is good. Less than 3 fouls per game. Overall field goal percentage of 55.6%. Averaged 30.5 minutes in those 24 games. Again, 19 starts for Leonard Miller. But he's a very capable playmaker. It's just, you know, a little inconsistent. To me, that just spells raw. That's all that really does. It's not like, oh boy, he's a mess. No, he's 19 years old. He's just getting started and all that. His inside scoring and his rebounding is insanely good. He runs the floor very well, very well, and has very good defensive upside. And his size and versatility are huge strengths. His overall shooting is kind of questionable, and again, he looks awkward. Putting up three-point shots. Occasionally, it's a nice, pretty shot. And it did improve during the course of the year. So that's a good sign that, okay, sure, it looks funky and ugly as hell sometimes. But then it's like, okay, it's, you know, there's a chance. And he's a young player. It's not like certain other players that people love very much that used to wear Wolves jerseys. Oh, he's going to improve his shooting. Shut your mouth. He's so good. And he's way better than you're rating him. And blah. Yeah, sure. I'm going to leave that alone, but I used to have people writing multiple paragraphs about the fallacies of my statement when I didn't even say anything that harsh. All I said was, he's not a good shooter. That's basically all I said. And I got a three-paragraph response from a guy who just couldn't handle it. I ended up blocking him because I couldn't take it anymore. Eventually, it's like, dude, enough. It was a beautiful Saturday afternoon. I was actually at a pool. On a beautiful Saturday afternoon with my friends and my wife, if I remember correctly. Like, well, not a friend and a wife. I don't have that many friends, but appreciate the ones I do have. And the son of a biscuit couldn't stop, like, harassing me. And it's like, goodbye, you know. Anyhow, back to where I need to be. The shooting is, and that was a former page that I don't talk about anymore. Scott Doherty's page is wonderful from Flip to Finch. Absolutely love it. So I have no problem with that one. The shooting, yep, inconsistent. It's a little questionable, but you can tell. I mean, he's a competitive player, and you can tell things are going to improve there. There's certain guys you could also tell there wasn't going to be an improvement, and that was that certain player from Spain there. That's all you need to know. Yep, decision-making, that's where you get the turnover. Sometimes he kind of gambles a little too much. You know, he'll kind of try to force a pass, force a play, and it's like, oh, man. But clearly, there is an insane upside there with the playmaking ability, him being, again, Leonard Miller. 6'10". Yes, he needs to get bigger. He's a skinny, lanky guy, but he's not, you know, he's 6'10", 210. Yeah, kind of a tongue twister there. So obviously he needs to get a little bigger, a little stronger, and more consistent defensively. He's not a phenomenal defender, and obviously he could have trouble guarding on the perimeter at times, but there's definitely something there, something to work with, no doubt about that. So suffice to say, a ton of upside, a ton of upside with Leonard Miller. Leonard Miller, you get them mixed up with Oliver Miller and this Miller and Reggie. No, maybe we won't get him mixed up with Reggie. And he doesn't really look like Oliver Miller either. He's actually from Scarborough, Canada. So, yes, he's a Canadian player. Again, born at the end of November. His birthday will fall on Thanksgiving once in a while, at November 26th. So, yeah, it's that magical third week of November every year that we all love very much. Because maybe if you're one of us unfortunate souls that has to do fall cleanups in November, which are much more rushed and difficult to deal with, in harsh weather than, say, a wonderful spring cleanup time of year like April, May. Yeah, it's a little different. Little different ballgame. So once Thanksgiving rolls around and we're wrapping up for the year, oh, I cherish Thanksgiving like you wouldn't believe. I'm not sure Leonard Miller is too excited about Thanksgiving necessarily because he's from Canada, but I suppose they have their own Thanksgiving, and he'll celebrate it with us, I'm sure. I don't think he's going to say, I don't want to celebrate with you. Ugh. He will. I'm sure he will. I know I would, so without being too crazy about it. I've babbled enough. I apologize about that. The other player taken at 53 was what Ben Beacon of Locked On Timberwolves, Locked On Wolves, wanted. That was Jalen Clark coming in out of UCLA. North-South. Two words, North-South. When it comes to his offense, you don't really see him jacking up shots too much. He can hit threes and everything. Yeah, he can shoot a little bit, but he's not so known for three-point shots all the time or anything. He's not known for like 3-3-3-3. He's not an offensive player. He's a defensive player. He is, let me tell you, one thing, okay, let's get to some other details first. A little bit older, unfortunately. That's another reason why his draft stock would drop, but he could have easily been a first-round pick if not for the Achilles tendon, because he's very talented. And UCLA was ranked super high, like top five, and then the injury happened and he dropped off. Coming in out of Riverside, California, that is close to LA, I think. Not that it really matters, but yeah. It is. It's close to LA. October 13th. Ooh. So if it's on a Friday, watch out, 2001. He shoots right. He's a shooting guard and all that stuff. 6'5", 205. Pretty built. I would say he's pretty built. And yep, 21 years of age already, and he'll turn 22 before he suits up a single game for the Timberwolves, unfortunately. Even without the, unless he would suit up in a preseason game, if not for the Achilles tendon. Stock definitely definitely went up. As a freshman, young Mr. Clark, only averaged 9 minutes a game and 2.5 points. As a sophomore, 18.1 and then 6.7 points a game. Pretty good rebounder, honest to God. In only 9 minutes, he averaged 2.4. The second year, 3.8 in 18 minutes. That's, like half of a starter's game or whatever. And then as a starter, 30.5 minutes, just like Leonard Miller. 6 rebounds for a guy that's, 6'5". So that's nice. 13 points. Also a decent playmaker. 2 assists a game. That's not too bad. Field goal percentage, this is pretty good for a shooting guard. 48.1. Unfortunately, 3-point percentage is about 33. So similar to Leonard Miller. Free throw percentage, about 70. A lot better than 54 the previous year. So that's a good thing. 30 games as a junior, 29 games as a sophomore, 31 as a freshman. So, and then again, of course, the stupid doggone Achilles tendon tear. That sucks so bad. Now to get to the point I was going to get to for like the last few minutes here. I have never seen anybody, and the announcers were saying it right as I said it, as I'm watching the, I'm researching and watching YouTube and all that, which we do, that's what we use, a lot of us. They said the same thing I did about literally a split second after I did. I have never seen anybody so outstanding at, jumping passing lanes and like taking it away than Jalen Clark. He is insanely talented at it. Unfortunately, I can kind of see where he may have gotten hurt, because obviously he is not afraid of getting in traffic. And getting in traffic, sometimes crazy stuff can happen. So hopefully he's going to be okay and it'll never happen again. No more freak injuries like this. But the guy gets in traffic to get the steals and all that. The way he'll jump that passing lane like a phenomenal cornerback in the NFL. He looks like an NFL cornerback the way he jumps those passing lanes. Built completely differently because cornerbacks aren't 6'5". Like maybe the tallest they get is 6'2", 6'3" in the NFL. They're usually oftentimes under 6 foot. But I suppose sometimes the real short ones get beat way too much by large wide receivers. Wrong show. Check out Purple Mafia when you can. That is a Minnesota Vikings podcast. Sorry. But Jalen Clark, it is North-South. He is a North-South type of guy. The way he jumps that route. And it is insanely... He's insanely fun to watch, the way he's able to jump the route and just attacks to the rim. North, south, north, south, north, south. If you don't like the east-west type of guys that pound the ball and take their time and pound the ball, this is your guy if you don't like those east-west kind of players. He is north-south 100%. It's like a combination of a cornerback and a running back. The way he'll, jump the routes, jump the passing lane, pardon me. He just takes away the passing lane. Again, like myself and the announcers, the UCLA announcers, people like Bill Walton and such. Great, 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 great commentator. He is, I love Bill Walton. he jumps the passing lane. He takes away the passing lane better than anybody we've ever seen. It is unbelievable. So as long as Jalen Clark can stay healthy, he is going to be a player that's going to be respected and recognized in the NBA. He's going to be a household name. Not because he's going to be a star player, but because he's going to be one of those guys, those glue players that people respect, that people gravitate towards. And he's the kind of guy that is going to be, you know, again, if he can stay healthy and all that, he's going to be the kind of guy that, like, say you win a championship, he is going to be an integral part to that championship team, getting those huge turnovers. I mean, this is a team that was giving up a million points. We were constantly frustrated beyond belief with the bad defense, perimeter, and whatever. Perimeter and on the block with Gobert, Karl-Anthony Towns, whoever, the bleep. D'Angelo Russell, who 90% of the time didn't care about defense, and 10%, he looked like, oh, he cares a little bit. Good luck to all of you out there with the re-signing there. I'm sorry to hear that, if that's true. With the Lakers, I am very sorry. My condolences, and I'm saying that sincerely. Jalen Clark, again, I mean, this is going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch, and I can see why Ben Beacon was like, Jalen Clark, Jalen Clark, Jalen Clark. Like, he'd be up in the middle of the night, take Jalen Clark to Jalen Clark, 53rd overall. It's like, yes, take the risk with the, you know, like, you know, it's going to be a bit till he comes back because of the freaking thing, you know, the thing, right? It's called an Achilles tendon. Backtracking to Leonard Miller, the NBA comparison is Andre Blatch, which I always used to have fun with Marcus the Forecaster years ago. Jalen Clark, okay, now they're saying his name. Projected to the Timberwolves 53rd. So, yep, I actually do remember seeing that. I'm a fan. I'm a fan, and I can see what they were talking about. Ben Beacon, Bryant Stith, who? Okay, well, Bryant Stith. He's a very stiff defender. Suffocating perimeter defender who was widely recognized as the best perimeter defender in college basketball this season. Yep, incredibly disciplined. This is from NBADraft.net. Incredibly disciplined defender who laterally moves his feet masterfully. So that's where you get the East-West defensively, not offensively. This is, no. And fully extends on contests without fouling. See, that's so good. An aggressive defender who took on the toughest matchups, yet stayed out of foul trouble and rarely conceded easy buckets. Intelligent defender who loves to force ball handler toward the baseline and stay in front. Even when he gets beat for a step, he recovers well and can block shots from behind with a great wingspan for his size of, so they're even saying he's short of 6'4", but a 6'9 wingspan. Whereas, Leonard Miller is a 7'2 wingspan, so that's very nice. Great anticipation as a defender both on and off the ball. To force turnovers on charges or steals, lays his body on the line, very effective, guarding one through three. That's, again, point guard through small forward. Can hold his own on the post, even against taller players with an exceptional upper body strength. Defensive playmaker. Yep. I mean, I really like him. Yeah. And, Ben Beacon, I feel you all the way. Very athletic, too. Again, we'll hope and pray for a full recovery. And he's going to be ready to rock and roll. And somebody as competitive as this guy, I got to hope he is going to be even better when he comes back. His leadership is rated to 8. So that's really cool. Jump shot only a 6. So, yep, 33% from downtown. He can hit it, so a little bit. He might be a little bit of 3-and-D someday, but his overall defense is going to be, it's going to be a joy. It's going to be an absolute joy. As Vince Germano once said, defense, my friend, defense. Yep, defense, my friend, defense. So, a very, very worthy 53rd pick. There's a really good chance both of these second-round picks wind up with the Minnesota Timberwolves. One thing about Tim Connelly, we can rip him for that. That's what I would deem, for now, hopefully I'm wrong, a horrible, horrible franchise-damaging trade. Damaging trade toward this franchise with Rudy Gobert. Not just because of the draft picks given up, but the stupid salary cap that's you're stuck with as well. And probably the deficiencies that reared their ugly head last year. Hello? Anyone? Yeah. So, deficiencies that rear their ugly head last year. Yeah. So, there is that. but, Tim Connelly is an outstanding draft, president of basketball. An outstanding drafter from what we can tell in the first and in the second round. I mean, look at the Walker Kessler pick first and foremost. Obviously very intriguing. But both of these guys, I mean, at very least, there is an incredible interest here with both. Like, Leonard Miller, there was talk in that, you know, before the draft, that he could have gone as high as, like, almost the end of the lottery. That's insane. So when you consider, like, yeah, we traded up for the 33rd, that was Tim Connelly saying, yeah, yes, absolutely. Like, this is doable. We don't have to give up the farm. And, well, there's going to be a day we're going to need a power forward. It seems like yesterday we did. We probably don't at the moment, but, oh, he's going to develop into something. He's going to be at least a really good rotational player. Same with Jalen Clark at 53rd, again, who dropped, you know, almost off the face of the earth because of the, said it 50 times, the same injury that I've talked about 50 times, and I apologize that I've gotten repetitive about that, but it's a very intriguing, I mean, how often do you get this, do you feel this good about second-round picks? There's intriguing ones sometimes, like Lauren Woods and all that. Yeah, he's talented, but he, you know, lots of back issues, and then he's kind of nuts, and I don't know, he was kind of skinny and stuff, but he was still an intriguing pick at the time, but I think both of these guys, there's something. I really do. And let's not forget Tim Connelly. Who took Nikola Jokic anyway in the second round? Tim Connelly. Who took Rudy Gobert in the second round? Tim Connelly. So that's pretty cool. Stuff to definitely talk about again. So again, other than that horrible trade, there's still a lot of chance to have, there's a lot of reason to have faith in Tim Connelly, particularly in the draft. Just one bad trade, luckily a really good one later with the same team in Utah. So, I thought I had this up. But so we're going to dig around a little bit, look at some of the free agent signings, free agent tracker and all that. So, humanly possible. I'm going to try to keep that brief, try to keep it moving. But also, again, the Wolves also brought back Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Very happy about that. Reports he will sign. So, yep, he will re-sign for the 2 years, and I believe it's like $5 million per. So that's the conversation there. Thanasis, where's the tracker, though? This isn't exactly what I remember, how they did it. This is not as pretty as I remember. not sure what's going on. I'm going to kind of, yep. No, that's not what I wanted. Sorry about this. Yep, Fred Van Vliet. Yeah, that's the other thing. You have to wait and wait and wait and wait. So, yep. You have to wait for for them to officially, like, put it through. Oh, yeah, looks like it's already here. Jeremiah Grant signed for that much. Is he that good? I don't believe this. Jeremiah Grant signed for that much, huh? Holy Toledo, dude. Is Jeremiah Grant worth $30 million a year? $160 million? He's okay. That's another good second-round pick. Fred Van Vliet, $128 million, 3 years with the Rockets. So, yep, Rockets have a little new look going on. Kyrie Irving going back to the Dallas Mavericks, $126. Cameron Johnson, that's another one that just blows my mind. He's like a 10-points-a-game kind of okay player. $108 million in just 4 years. This is why I might get on a soapbox a little bit. Like, what? This is nuts. I'm sorry. Sorry if I'm offending you. This is nuts. Chris Middleton? I'd rather have him than Cameron Johnson, but it's 3 years instead of four. So $102 million in just 3 years. Draymond Green, $25 million a year. $100 million for just 4 years. Kyle Kuzma. That's another one. Just an okay player, in my opinion. Disagree all you want. 4 years, $90 million. Dylan Brooks going to the Rockets. They're like, get the hell out of here from Memphis because he's nuts. $80 million for 4 years of the Rockets. That's going to be an interesting team, actually. Jacob Poeltl, $78 million in just 4 years. Austin Reaves, yep. So some of the... Austin Reaves? Is this for real? They give Austin Reaves $4 million? This can't be real, can it? This... Okay, yeah, Austin Reaves, yeah. Sorry, Austin Reaves. Yeah, duh. I'm not talking about someone else. Sorry. Austin Reaves, not someone else. Not Austin Rivers. Sorry. Okay, yeah. I don't need to go all over all of these. But yeah, here's a notable. Dante DiVincenzo going to the New York Knicks at 12.5. So basically just like a Nasreed. Nasreed. And again, our guy, Mr. Yeah, we talked about it. We'll get back to him in a little bit. What are the Lakers doing? Seriously. I guess it's reported. It's not like official. But going back to the Lakers, D'Angelo Russell, what the heck, man? Why? Why? D'Angelo Russell going back to the Lakers. Why, Lakers? What are you doing? $37 million. Oh, Vince, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Believe me, I'm sorry. I mean, he had some great moments during the season to help them kind of get back in gear. But then once the playoffs rolled around, it's like, yeah, that's okay. You know what I mean? Brooke Lopez, back to the Bucks. Back to the Bucks. Isn't that where he started? I think so. No, it was the Nets. He won a championship with the Bucks, I believe. $48 million. Congrats to the veteran there. Bruce Brown, a guy that we talked about for about 5 minutes coming to the Wolves, and it's like 22.5. Good luck with that. $45 million in 2 years going from the Nuggets to the Pacers. Gabe Vincent going from Miami to the Lakers. Interesting. $33 million bucks. 3 years. Caris LeVert. No, oh yeah, Kobe White really quick. Staying with the Bulls. 3 years, 11 per. Caris LeVert staying with Cleveland. Wow, $16 million per. Dennis Schroeder going from the Lake Show to Toronto. 12.7 per in 2 years. Pardon me, Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles is going to Orlando. 2 years, 11 mil. Javon Carter, I don't know, some of these guys, it's like, eh, Jeff Green is still alive. Going to the Rockets, cool. 2 years, $8 million per. Reggie Jackson is, oh, I miss you. I miss you, Wayne Hunt. Yep. Staying with the Nuggets, he got his ring. Congratulations, Reggie. 2 years, $5 million plus per. Shake Milton, that's the, yeah, like, why am I not getting into that? Shake Milton coming to the Timberwolves, $10 million, five per. So 2 years, $10 million for Shake Milton. Another important player, of course. So it's 4.5, actually, for Nickeil Alexander-Walker and Troy Brown coming to the Timberwolves. So these are, obviously, decent players coming to Minnesota. A lot of people are very happy about Shake Milton, and I am, too. I like Shake Milton. He can shake, 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 shake. Shake Milton. Sorry. Yes, thank you very much. Shake Milton coming to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Actually a nice player. For some reason, he fell out of the rotation. And I don't know why. I don't know why Shake Milton, shake that. Milton fell out of the rotation for Philadelphia last year. I'm not sure what the deal is, but of course, Timberwolves, again, focusing on getting younger and younger here, 26 years of age. So, like, Austin Rivers, guys like that, not coming back. I believe Austin Rivers went to the Los Angeles Lakers as well, and we'll get back to that eventually. Shake Milton, over the course of his career, has averaged 9.3 points in 254 games. He's been around for 5 years already. Wow. 26 years of age, heading into 27 this year, 3.2 assists. He can play like a backup point guard type of role. Jordan McLaughlin is back for 1 year, 2.3, by the way, so we'll see what happens there. He's a willing defender. He's solid, but he's not spectacular. Two-point shooting, 52%. Three-point shooting, almost 38, so definitely good. He averaged 43% in his second year in the NBA in only 40 games, but started 24 games that year. Shake Milton, yes, a rotation type of guy, and again, for some reason in the playoffs, fell out, but I like him. Shake Milton's a nice addition to this team. A 6'5" shooting guard who can play a little point as well and do some playmaking. Coming out of Owosso, Oklahoma. Went to SMU and all that good stuff. So, yeah. NBA debut November 30th, 2018. Dallas Mavericks second round 54th overall pick, pardon me. So again, further proof second round picks can make it in the NBA. No doubt about it. Shake Milton, nice. Excited about that. So, and I, when I saw Brown Jr., I'm like, oh my God, no, it's Troy Brown. Troy Brown Jr. is coming to the Timberwolves. So, you know, it's okay. He's decent. Decent addition. Not sure where my stuff went here. Getting kind of mad. Okay, I see what I did. Sport track. Troy Brown Jr., 2 years, $8 million. So, okay, decent addition coming to the Wolves. And again, Nikhil Alexander-Walker sticking around. All young guys. Troy Brown Jr. will be just turning 24. That's a cool thing. Jalen McDaniels, the brother of Jaden, a bit older, not too much older. He's got a two-year ditty going to Toronto from Philly. Steph Curry's going to Dallas. I believe he played there already. 2 years only. Man, not that much money. 4.6. So we went with Shake, Shake, Shake instead of Seth, Seth, Seth. But he's about, what, 6 years younger, so can't complain too much. Kevin Love will be staying with the Heat for only $3.9 million. Gone are the days of talking about, man, I want a max contract. Derrick Rose is going to the Memphis Grizzlies. Russell Westbrook, a different planet here. When you consider he made almost like freaking $45 million last year or something. Yep, so just like Kevin Love, same exact contract, actually. That's weird. Must be like a small mid-level exception or something. 7.8 for 2 years. Interesting. Eric Gordon, who feels like he's been in the league for 15 years. Yep, going to the Suns. Josh Richardson going to the back to the Heat after all that. Coming back full circle. Interesting. And with Jimmy Butler, of all people, too. Isn't that the darndest thing? Kade Bates job. Cam Reddish, only 2.3. Gosh, it's too bad. He's only 24. I would give him a chance. Torian Prince and Vince Germano is very excited about him. Going to the Lakers, 1 year, 4.5. The Wolves did release Torian Prince. I didn't even mention that. My apologies there. So Patrick Beverley's going to the Philadelphia 76ers. About 3.2 there. Robin Lopez going back to the Bucks, or going to join the Bucks. I believe he played there, right? And he's going to join his brother. Cool. Lonnie Walker, the fourth, who had a couple moments for the Lakers beating the Warriors. $2.3 million for 1 year. Not much of a reward, but still more money than we make. I think I'm done dinking around here. A.J. Green, da-da-da-da-da. Luka Garza, blah, 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 blah. So I think we've kind of covered it for the most part. But, yes, very, you know, Troy Brown Jr. is like a rotational kind of guy as well. Might not be the most exciting addition, but certainly not the worst. Vince Germano, definitely a fan. Let's see what he had to say. I remember he talked about him a little bit. Let's see. I had him here. So, yep, apologize for my kind of mess. And yes, he talked about a couple of Australian players as well on the Minnesota Timberwolves, what do we call it? The Minnesota Timberwolves Summer League. Let's see, where am I? Yep, so, yep, Vince Germano was saying, man, I really like Shake Milton. I've wanted him in L.A. for years. Yeah, he's pretty good. He said he's really, yep, he's good. Philly was so stupid not to give him playing time. Then I talked about Troy Brown Jr. because he's coming in from the Lakers. He says Vince Germano, of course, coming in out of Australia. Of course, again, Melbourne, Australia, and obviously legendary friend of Timberwolves Explosion and legendary friend of myself as well, not just the show. Good length, can hit the three, plays defense, runs well, and can finish on the break. He's a very solid player, mate. Put it this way, I was hoping he would stay. Like us, you're going to have brain-dead fans who can't see his value, but he's very, very solid coming off the bench. Vince continues saying, keep an eye on Jalen Galloway. That's on the Wolves Summer League. He's on the T-Roll Summer League, coming in out of Australia. Vince says he's young, but hope he does well. I'm interested to see how Wardenburg goes also. Wardenburg is a guard, and then Galloway as well. So both of them are on the Wolves Summer League there. Vince says that Wardenburg is from New Zealand, actually, not Australia, pardon me. That's my bad. But he played for Australia in the past season. He's a smart player. He played forward. Okay, they're both forwards, not guards, pardon me. Vince wraps it up saying, Galloway contributed to our championship run this year. Man, I hope he gets good minutes and does well. Hopefully, for sure. And yep, we'll see how that turns out. Troy Brown Jr., What do we have? Yep, yeah, he played in 76 games. I do remember him with the Lakers. 7.1 points, 4.1 rebounds during the course of the season. He's been in the league a little bit. Still only 23 years of age last year. Came in the league real young out of Washington, or to the Washington Wizards, pardon me, 52 games there. Averaged 10 points a game in his second year, along with 5.6 rebounds. So a more than worthwhile player. Doesn't block a lot of shots, unfortunately, but still a solid player. He's only 6'6", so he's kind of like a, you know, swingman type of guy. Swingman type of player. Coming in out of Las Vegas, Nevada. He was a first-round pick, 15th overall, by the Wizards in 2018. So, pretty cool. Debuted that year on October 24th. And, yeah, been a guy that, yeah, you know, at least a decent player at the 15th pick in the draft. Nothing probably like, wow, what a steal or anything. But at least a guy that's going to contribute. Decent three-point shooter as well. He averaged 38% last year. Him being Troy Brown Jr. with the Lakers, that's not bad. Field goal percentage 43, so it's not the best, but pretty damn good three-point percentage overall when you consider the circumstances. Must have shot a decent amount of threes. Yeah, he did, 3.7. His two-point percentage is over 50, so that's cool at the end of the day. Does make some playmaking as well, 1.5 assists. Averaged 24.5 minutes a game last year with the Lakers, which is second to a career high, which was, again, his second year in the league with Washington. I believe he was traded to the Bulls, yes, the next year. His third year, he was traded to the Chicago Bulls and then stuck around there and then wound up with the Lakers in the offseason of 22-23. And, yeah, decent contributor for a team that went all the way to the Western Conference Finals. So, cool. Cool addition. So that's the other addition for the Wolves. And of course, Shake Milton, the guy that I'm a fan. No doubt about that. Shake Milton is a guy that could be a definite factor for the Wolves going forward. Be a nice rotational player. So things do look bright for the most part. And again, Anthony Edwards is inked for a long considering amount of time. And a lot of us are very excited. Leonard Miller and Jalen Clark. Probably not going to contribute a whole lot to the Wolves this year, especially Jalen Clark, unfortunately, because he's recovering. And we know how things go in the NBA with players recovering from serious injuries. It's just long, very long. But Wolves also getting long and athletic and such by drafting Leonard Miller, a very intriguing pick. And, of course, Troy Brown Jr., Shake Milton, all younger guys that can certainly play in this league. And it's going to be fun to watch for years to come, definitely. We'll see if there's any type of crazy trade or interesting trade coming up. A lot of people do believe that the Timberwolves will not go into next season with all three centers, we'll say, of Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, and Naz Reid. So odds are Naz Reid is going to be here. He's probably the safest bet that's going to be here. Rudy Gobert, maybe just because it's just, you know, what the hell. Karl Anthony Towns, we heard John Krasinski defending him and talking about how, hey, I've never seen a player take so much flack, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm certainly not hating on Karl Anthony Towns, but I think fans have a right to be disappointed and frustrated. I think they do. Maybe some of the vitriol is way too much and it's not necessary. I can understand that. You don't want to tear people apart when, I don't know, he's been loyal to us for the most part, so that's a good thing. Just sometimes some of the crazy quotes and some of the disappointing performances can drive you nuts as well. With that said, I'm going to take a quick break and come back and hear what you have to say about the free agency and might add in some of the stuff in case I didn't get to something, which is often the case in a show like this where there's just a lot of different tentacles to this offseason that, you know, if there hasn't been this huge dramatic move like a trading Karl Anthony Towns or trading for Rudy Gobert, but hey, long-term commitment to Anthony Edwards, from him to us and us to him, very, very exciting, to say the least. And nice, solid additions that I think made this team better at the end of the day. So we'll hear what you have to say right after this. We'll be right back. And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, fan interaction segment, and of course the free agency 2023 episode. Two segments shot. There is some other stuff that I didn't get to in the first segment about player movement and such, but let's get to what you have to say first. I think that would be rude of me to just keep prolonging it. I'm just going to put you guys back. No, that would not be nice. So I believe, yep, I kind of asked like a centerized question, but first I want to thank Derek Felska, coming in out of Western Wisconsin, big fan of Brave the Wild, or big friend of Brave the Wild. And also, kind enough to retweet this episode as well. Derek Felska of the Crease Assist podcast. It's a great show. Talking about the Minnesota Wild as well. We're like big friends, of course, talking about the Minnesota Wild, Brave the Wild, and Crease Assist podcast. Levi Brown, Tanae Brown, coming in out of New Zealand. Amazing guys, and you'll hear from them shortly. Vinrock Vince Germano coming in out of Melbourne, Australia. And, of course, long time friend, him and Tanae and Levi. Known them for over a decade, and it's just been amazing. Also, still waiting for the Courtside podcast to come out of its, hopefully not eternal hiatus. Really hope it comes back. The Courtside podcast, the best basketball show there is on the planet, needs to make its return. Hopefully our friend Wayne Hunt can get going again. God bless him. He's disappeared from Facebook, just kind of sick of it. So, and mostly social media as well. So let's hear what guys have to say. Benzo coming in, because I put out kind of a general question. Oh, actually, first we'll get to something else. Vince Germano was sharing like a quote tweet from Olgun Ulusic, who was saying, Sam Wardenburg will play for the Minnesota Timberwolves in the 2023 Summer League, sources told ESPN, a 6'10 stretch big out of New Zealand, averaged 11.3 points per game and 5.6 rebounds per game for the Cairns Taipans of last NBL season. And then Vince Germano says, I love this kid, mate, can play. Yep, and Levi liked that as well. And thank you very much, Vince, for sharing. Of course, valuable pieces for the Wolves in Summer League, like we talked about Sam Warburg and such. And, yep, I want to look around as well a little bit. I'll admit, I haven't been super close to the Summer League. I mean, in the past, I would watch so closely and get super excited, and then half of the time, the guys wouldn't play. Like, maybe we'd keep them, and then they wouldn't play all year, and it was just like, ugh. So sometimes I just get burned with some of that, unfortunately. But also, I mean, I do love Summer League. I've loved it forever. So it's not like I'm like, Summer League is a joke or anything. That's not how I feel. I think the time that I'm recording this, the Wolves actually have only played one game against the Pelicans. I believe that's it. And yeah, it was a very impressive day for guys like Josh Minot. 20 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. What the heck, man? Jeez. Leonard Miller, 16 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 2 blocks for Josh Minot as well. Wendell Moore Jr. also had 16 points, 6 assists, a steal, and all that. He's a really nice shutdown defender. And then a point guard that's been a third-string point guard in the NBA that's been brought up from time to time, and for some reason, I don't know why they're not showing him, but Williams, he was the starting point guard. Brandon Williams, okay. He's actually, you know, in short spurts, been a pretty valuable guy, actually. Been pretty good. Averaged about 13 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds over the course of a few games. Yeah, fairly young guy, 24 years of age. So, not somebody you really want to write off. I mean, you never know. He might end up being something. He played for the Blazers last season. So, there's something there. So this would be his second year in the league. Yeah, he played 24 games. He actually started 16 last year, but remember, Portland was kind of, you know, in the doldrums of basketball hell at that stage. Unfortunately, Williams only averaged about 29% from downtown, so there is that. But kind of, you know, in a spurt there, and again, no pressure probably, because Portland was tanking, basically. They were tanking, and now they have a Scoot coming in. But still, nice showing in, you know, a fairly decent sample size. I mean, it's, you know, it's some games to average 13 points a game. That's not too bad. So, we'll see. He's on the Wolves' summer league, and he's starting at the point guard position in a team that's very desperate for some life at the point guard position. Galloway and Wardenburg did not play, unfortunately, in the single summer league game the Wolves have played so far. At least I'm 99% sure that's the only Wolves, that's the only summer league game the Wolves have played so far, which is kind of annoying, but what are you going to do? You know, it's the unfortunate reality of it all. This thing is driving me nuts. I don't know what it's doing, actually. So yeah, Friday, Saturday, there was nothing. And then I believe they did not play today on Sunday either. Yeah, they hadn't played. They haven't played. They've only played one game, is what I'm trying to say, as I stumble all over myself. Monday, we finally play another game against the Utah Jazz. So, yeah, both Wardenburg and the other guy, unfortunately, did not play. Galloway, pardon me, did not play in that first game. Hopefully, they'll see some action. So, yeah, me and Vince having conversations behind the scenes, and he's very intrigued by both of them, very much so. Coming in out of Australia and New Zealand there. Benzo, coming in out of the Bronx, and really, really, really appreciate you responding to my little kind of bat signal, you could say, like, well, so what did you guys think so far? What are your overall thoughts of the Timberwolves draft and free agency thus far? What else, if anything, would you like to see done? So, yeah, Benzo first got in before anybody else. Really appreciate you, Benzo, for the quick response. Coming in out of the Bronx, says, the moves so far have been pretty good with the little we had to work with. Yep, exactly. I think we kept the bottom half of the roster extremely competitive. Outside of Nas and Slow-Mo, the entire bench has to watch out for the next man up. Yeah, yep, because obviously Nas and Slow-Mo are pretty safe, yeah. But yeah, they have to wait for the next man up. Yeah, they have to watch closely because it's, you know, there's definitely some depth. Minot's definitely got some a future in the league, even being compared to Jaden McDaniels a little bit with some nice defensive ability. And of course, Leonard Miller, a lot of people believe is a shoe-in to at least be a good rotation player in the NBA for many years to come. And very well might be a household name someday. And I think Jalen Clark could be a household name someday, as long as he's healthy enough, like you heard me rave about him in the first segment, because I really, really liked what I saw. I really liked what I saw. I'm going to keep saying it. The guy's, you know, there's something about that kind of player that just kind of gets me going. So hopefully I'm right and I'm not a complete idiot. But I wouldn't be the only person that'll have egg on their face if things don't work out. But we'll see. We'll find out, right? At VinRock44, again, that's Vince Germano of the Courtside Podcast with Wayne Hunt and Stu Benson joining him there. A couple of Laker fans and a Memphis Grizzly fan. Vince Germano and Stu Benson are Laker fans. Mr. Wayne Hunt is a Memphis fan, but it is a basketball show. It's not like just those three or just those two teams, those three guys talking about those two teams. They venture around all over the league, including talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves once in a while. And they talk about them more than you'd think, by the way. They're not like, huh, Timberwolves, they're irrelevant. Who gives a crap about that team? They're not like that at all, actually. We're actually Vince Germano's second favorite team behind the Los Angeles Lakers, so be honored, believe me. The Lakers are, regardless of what you want to think about them and you hate their guts or whatever, blah, 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 you're tired of this, you're tired of that, regardless of how you look at them, they are NBA royalty. And there's nothing we can do about that. It's a fact. Anyhow, now that I've babbled way beyond where I should, Vince Germano says, love the addition of Shake Milton and Troy Brown. I've wanted Shake on the Lakers for the longest time. TB, that would be Troy Brown, is really solid, plays D, and can hit the three. You see what he did there? And runs the floor. Will help if given minutes. Good role player. Yeah. Yep. And like you said, like Albenzo was saying again, like the depth and everything. So yeah, guys like that are going to give this team extreme depth. Extreme depth. And they're both players. They're both legitimate players. They're not just kind of slappies. As former Minnesota Vikings quarterback Jeff George would say, they're not just some slappy who's just kind of there, part of the scenery, and is there to try to steal somebody else's job. But, yeah. Vince Germano continues saying, and signing Naz Reid was great. A bit pricey, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it won't matter if he keeps improving, which I think he will. Just got to get rid of Gobert and put a good power forward next to Towns. Yeah, if I could get rid of one of the two, it would be Gobert for sure. I've been frustrated with Towns, and obviously the contract is frightening beyond human recognition. It is scary. It is. But Gobert's is pretty scary, too. Like I talked about in the last episode about him dropping the ball and all that, and how, you know, it's just, you know, we really appreciate the contribution very much by Rudy Gobert for $40 million. Yeah, you could tell I was thrilled about that. So, yeah, it would be nice, and obviously a possible starting power forward next to Towns could be a Naz Reid, or it could be Leonard Miller. Could be. It could be Naz Reid. Jalen Clark's not going to be a power forward, but he's going to be a heck of a tough swing man. He's going to be a hell of a player. Tanae Brown will wrap up the actual fan interaction part of the show, and then I'm going to jump in a little bit more on some of the transactions that I failed to mention on the previous segment. It's like, it was just like itching at me. Like, I know I didn't mention some transactions that are pretty significant going forward, and unfortunately they're not Wolves related, but they're kind of Wolves related in terms of, like, well, teams we'd like to knock out in the West. Tanae Brown, out of New Zealand, says, "I've been a bit indifferent to our offseason so far. I like how we drafted. I think that's where we'll see Tim Connelly do his best work." I agree. Losing TP seemed dumb. Yep, that'd be Taurean Prince. Yep. And I like how easy Naz will be to trade with his contract if it comes to that. Yep, so if the need comes, yeah, he'd be very easy to trade. It's a tradable contract. It's a decent amount of money, but it's not like, holy crap, this is stupid. What are you doing, man? It's nothing like that. Ideally, I wish Cat was traded. And yeah, especially because of the contract and some of the, let's just say, not very winner attitude. And yeah, I'm not tearing Karl Anthony Towns to pieces like John Krasinski's saying a lot of people on social media have been doing. I don't doubt that's probably been happening, but I don't know. I think fans have a right to be insanely frustrated. I do. Maybe some of the vitriol is over the top, like stuff that's just inappropriate and all that. Especially if it's anything family related, I wouldn't even touch it. Especially with a guy with what's happened recently in Karl Anthony Towns' life. So I hope that's not been happening. And if it has, steer clear of that type of behavior if humanly possible. All of us, I'm definitely going to be steering clear of it. But yeah, anybody that's not overall pleased with the performance of Karl Anthony Towns and are scared of the contract, I don't blame you one bit. I'm kind of in your camp, actually. In fact, I am in your camp. It's just unfortunate because Gobert, it's like kind of the same thing. Cat's probably more tradable, probably, because Gobert, I don't know what kind of value he has at this stage. Because not only is he, you know, he's kind of a mess. He can't even catch the ball half the time. And that's what D'Angelo Russell's frustration was. But he's not getting any younger and his contract's not getting any cheaper. You know how that works. So, yay. There is a bit of that frustration. So, anybody talking about like trading Cat, I'm not mad at you at all. At all. And I have no right to be quite fair. I'm going to venture a little more into the transactions. In fact, or at least I'd like to, if humanly possible. Where'd it go? Okay, it's like trades and all that stuff. So, one that was very significant that took place a while back, but it didn't officially get announced until July the 6th. Chris Paul, well, ultimately he was traded to the Wizards first, kind of a mix of players heading to the Phoenix Suns, but it was mostly, for Bradley Beal, ultimately. Yeah, that's where Bradley Beal wound up with the Phoenix Suns, which again also can change the balance of power a bit in the Western Conference. It can. It's a team that's like, okay, well, let's just wrap this up. Let's get this championship done. Chris Paul, it's a weird situation. I've never been a huge fan of like having multiple like big name point guards on the same team. It just doesn't work. It never does. And when I've heard some people were like, oh yeah, there it is. The Warriors are going to win another championship. And then there's the other side that's like, no, they're not. In fact, this is actually going to make them worse. I think it's going to make them worse too. Not just because I can't stand the Warriors, but because it doesn't make any sense. Chris Paul going with Steph Curry, he's either going to get like hardly any minutes at all, or it's just going to be kind of weird. Otherwise, I already made my point there. It's either not going to play enough for him to really be that big of a help, or it's just going to be a weird, weird mix. You give up Jordan Poole, maybe you didn't like him very much, maybe you didn't like his contract, but he's a hell of a lot younger. I don't know. So he's on his way to the Washington Wizards. Cash considerations, a 2030 first-round pick, top 20 protected. A 2030 first-round pick, so 7 years from now. What? 7 years from now, Chris Paul will be like 50 years old. And I will, too. Yeah, well, Chris Paul's not as old as I am. Good for him, unfortunate for me. I'll be 51. Yeah, or turning 51 around that time of that draft, about a month after that. What? That's really weird. 2030. Okay, right. Right. But, yep, Chris Paul ultimately again from the Wizards for Bradley Beal to the Suns, and then he winds up with the Warriors for Jordan Poole, Patrick Baldwin Jr., Ryan Hollins. Wasn't he on the Wolves for a while? I think he was, right? Yep, and then a 2030 pick, a 2027 second-round pick, a 2045 second-round pick swap. They're going to trade. They're going to swap picks in 2045. It's top 50 protected. So, yeah, you know, they're going to keep trading. I can imagine second-round picks in 2034 or something like that having changed hands about seven times. I wouldn't doubt it. And then it ends up being the next, you know, and then the actual player ends up being the next Manu Ginobili. It ends up being a really good pick. That'd be kind of funny. You know, it used to be with the Thunder. It was with the Wolves. And then it wound up with Phoenix. And then it was in Washington. And then it was on the Warriors. And it wound up in San Antonio when they got the next Manu Ginobili. Because the Spurs always get everything at the end of the day. Except when they don't. But, yeah, they always seem to find these miracle players. Anyhow, I've babbled way too much. Chris Duarte winding up with the Kings for 2028 second-round pick, 2030 second-round pick. Did I mention anything about second-round picks changing hands multiple times in the next 10 to 15 years? Have you been noticing something like that? Like, second-round picks are being moved around like billions of shares of Microsoft. You know what I mean? Like billions of shares getting moved around from one person to the next. That's what it's like a single share. As valuable as a share of Microsoft might be, it's changed hands how many times historically? It's kind of like that. It's kind of weird. It's kind of funny. Cavaliers get Max Strauss. I don't know if you know why I'm getting into this. CeeDee Osman from the Cavs and Lemaire up to the Spurs. So some of these aren't that exciting. Patty Mills, he was with the Nets after being with the Spurs forever. He's going to the Rockets. Interesting. So 2028 second-round pick via the Bucks from the Nets. Did I mention anything about second-round picks trading hands multiple times? Did I mention anything about that? I think I did. Yeah, again, it's going to be very interesting. Victor Oladipo going to the Oklahoma City Thunder from the Heat. Yeah, that's right. He was on the Heat. I don't really remember seeing him. For cash considerations going to the Heat. So basically, it was just a cash dump. Are you ready? Anyone? Anyone? 2029 and 2030 second-round picks. Have I made myself clear yet about what's going on? Yeah. Oh, my God. It's just... eventually, it's going to be a list. Let me tell you. It's still going. Are you ready? So, this is almost getting to a point of it's just for entertainment purposes only. Because it's funny. It's funny. Joe Harris is finally leaving the Nets after being there for about a couple of years and shooting some three-pointers and all that and being in the three-point contest. He's going to the Pistons. Yay. Are you ready? Anybody? Hands raised. What do you think? What do you think is included? Yes, second-round picks. Yeah, exactly. 2027, second-round pick from the Mavericks. So it's like the Nets, but via the Mavericks. And 2029, second-round pick from the Nets via the Bucks. Need I say more? Have I made my point yet? Should I keep going? Monte Morris to the Pistons for a 2027 second round pick. I can't put into words. I can't do it. I can't. It's, oh Lord, help us. Oh God, help us. The Chris Paul trade from the Suns, Bradley Beal, I have to read it out. And I think I'm done doing that. Yeah. After that, I'll be, well, no, there's one very significant one with the Celtics. We'll get to that next. Here's the big one. The one that Chris Paul ultimately did leave the Phoenix Suns, and the Phoenix Suns wound up with Bradley Beal. Very, very nice addition if he can stay bleeping healthy. And he's, I may agree with some of his politics once in a while. Jordan Goodwin and Isaiah Todd all go into the Suns. Sounds nice. The Wizards get Chris Paul temporarily before he wound up getting traded to the Warriors for 100 second-round picks. Well, no, that was only like two or three in all cash and all that crap. Landry Shamet, cool. Bilal Coulibaly, he was the seventh overall pick via the Pacers. So that beats ultimately on the Wizards now. 2024, first round pick swap. Anybody? Okay, 2026, first round pick swap included. That's a lot of pick swaps. Boy, Man, that's a lot of pick swaps. But at least it's a swap, so the Suns would still get the pick. It's just like, but like Wizards can take advantage of a situation, say if the Suns are the 11th pick and the Wizards are 24th, which would probably be the opposite. But yeah, but if need be, the Wizards would have the option. Like, we'll take the 11th pick, you get the 24th, na 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 boo boo. So that happens, what, in 2024, 2026, 2028, 2030. Anything else? Jiminy freaking Christmas. Pick swaps every other year, because you can't do it every single year, for 4 years in a row. But at least they get to keep the picks, unlike the Wolves. They're all gone every other year. How quaint. But luckily, we have the best second-round pick general manager in the history of basketball. Thank you, Lord, for that. That's actually what makes you feel slightly better. Everybody ready for the bag? Remember the imaginary bag many years ago for the really old Timberwolves explosion listeners that go back to Kurt Rambis coaching the Timberwolves when David Kahn kept trading down for this player and or for this lower pick in cash, trading down cash, right? And eventually you added up to $4 million to help move Kurt Rambis out of here and to the TV booth and ultimately assistant coach of the Knicks. Ready, anybody? Ready for the bag of second-round picks? There's about 5 million second-round picks in the bag that have been swapped hands. They're literally shares of stock. It's like stock shares of like a diluted stock that has 9 billion shares out in the public pool. Ready? 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028, 2030. All second-round picks going to the Washington Wizards. And they'll probably trade hands about 15 times, especially by the time it gets to 2030. That second-round pick in 2030 will have changed hands about 30 times. It might even touch every single franchise in the NBA before it finally is chosen. And it'll be some guy from, I don't know, it'll be a Euro player that never wants to come here. But, oh well, it'll have changed hands 50 times. They might as well give him every hat in the box, every single hat of every team. Okay, so just pick one. Okay, was it the Wizards? No. That was 3 years ago. No, that was 8 years ago. Sorry. Now it's the Hornets. Now it's the Hawks. I don't know. Who gives a damn? Just grab a hat, put it on, and that's where you're going. Next. Nope, I don't think that. Yep. So there's one more that I'm going to mention because it's kind of significant. And then I'll finally shut up and let you move on with your lives without me. Sorry, I'm having fun with this. But I really appreciate the fan interaction that you guys gave this show. I really do. But this stuff is entertaining. I'm sorry. It's entertaining. If it's entertaining me, I hope it's entertaining you as well, because it's funny. This one isn't funny. It's just significant. Krzysztof the Unicorn. That guy. Kristaps Porzingis. It's not that hard. Goes to his 19th team. No, maybe his 4th or 5th, I think, by now. He was drafted by the Knicks once upon a time. He's going to the Boston Celtics. Pretty cool. Before the draft, with Marcus Sasser, number 25 pick traded to Detroit. Yeah, anyhow, I'll get off of that. 2024 first round pick from Golden State via Memphis. Yeah, even the first round picks are getting traded 6 times or something. The Grizzlies get Marcus Smart. Okay. And then Tyus Jones is now leaving the Grizzlies for the Washington Wizards. How exciting. Danilo Gallinari joins his 15th team. Mike Muscala, I think he's been on 3 or 4. Julian Phillips, and a number 35 pick traded to Chicago. See how it already changed hands? It's so tiring. But it's fun. It's funny. Especially when you talk about 20, 30 second-round picks and all these trades that involve second-round picks. It could go on for 15 years. I'm surprised there isn't a 2040 second round pick that's been traded yet, but it's probably not that far away. It probably isn't, actually. But a very interesting offseason, honestly. And for the Wolves, of course, I think it's an encouraging one. It doesn't blow your socks off. You're not like, oh my God, we're going to be the Nuggets next year. We're going to be the number one seed, and everyone's going to doubt us, but we're going to wind up winning it all in the end. And not act like Travis Kelce, jackass style, yelling in the camera, telling everybody we doubted them. Dude, shut the hell up, go away, celebrate your championship, and move on with your life. End of discussion with him. Anyhow, the Wolves, there's something here, and I guess if we're going to have second-round picks traded to us, hopefully not traded away as much, I think we have the right guy in charge. If we're going to have to make good picks in the second round. I think we do have the right general manager slash president of basketball operations is what his real role is. But, stereotypical title is general manager, you could say. But really appreciate what Tim Connelly can do. And I do believe that he's going to have this franchise heading in the right direction despite the Rudy Gobert trade and what took place there. We'll see. But at the end of the day, really appreciate you guys jumping on board the show, getting your comments in. Really appreciate it. Sorry if I drag this out way too much, but I don't know. I just find it entertaining and really funny, considering how many second-round picks get traded and how many times they trade hands and how many times they're going to trade hands when we're talking about a second-round pick that's been traded once or twice already, and it's like 7-8 years away. It's pretty crazy. It's kind of weird. And I think it's going to keep going in that direction in the next several years, where we're talking 2045 picks being traded in like next draft or something. It could happen. With that, it's like three general managers later. Oh yeah, this pick. Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's funny. It is. Anyhow, with that said, I think I'm going crazy, but please interact with the show as much as possible at TWolvesEX, facebook.com/TimberwolvesExplosion. I should probably check really quick just in case there's something there. I don't think there is, but just in case, I gotta at least check just to be fair and to be polite, because I absolutely love you guys to death, and when you interact with the show, I appreciate it. Oh yeah, there is something actually there. So, yes, there are a couple comments, believe it or not. So, yeah, we're gonna continue fan interaction. There's comments. Oh yeah, I should have went here instead of going crazy on Twitter. But no, really appreciate that. And again, I'm sorry that I babbled so much about the trades, but it is what it is. So I better get back to fan interaction here. Okay, well, let's go. I gotta keep digging downward. Okay, so. The Golden Age of 1996. That was a great draft, just to share. Okay, so we'll continue. Yep, the Naz Reid signing. Multiple comments. They don't look long, though, which is, either way, if they're long or short, it's totally fine. I'll try to get to the point here, sorry. Tanae Brown out of New Zealand says, interesting, seems like a lot of money to pay for your third-string center. But at the end of the day, he's not really third-string, more of a depth guy. Who's going to be, he's going to get tons of playing time. And he's actually like kind of forward and center both, power forward and center both. Sean Grant says, great signing. Steve Bilderback says, thank you, Naz Reid. Fred Mitham says, now start him and let D Scaredy Cat come off the bench and just be a scorer since that's all he's capable of doing. That's the best way to mitigate Cat's refusal to play defense and his sticky hands on offense. Interesting. Interesting thoughts there. Very much so. Continue. The Timberwolves are declining to guarantee Torian Prince's $7.4 million contract. Da-da-da-da-da. So that was from Woj. And I do believe Vince Germano said gladly we'll take him. And guess what? They gladly did take him. So congratulations, Vince Germano, on acquiring Mr. Torian Prince. Tanae Brown says, what's going on here? That seems pretty cheap for a player of his caliber. Guards multiple positions, runs the floor, made open shots. The sort of role player we've been after for years, ? Like, what's going on? So, yeah, I can understand. But I guess Troy Brown is the replacement. That's my guess. So, I suppose so. He's going a bit younger. Maybe he'll be a better overall defender. So, maybe it kind of makes more sense at the moment. And yes, there's Torian Prince as the Lakers. Vince Germano says, I'm very happy for this. And I was saying, pretty solid player. You'll definitely be happier with him than Malik Beasley. Yep, and Tanae liked that. He laughed. It's true. What the heck? Where's the reply? I clicked on it. Vince Germano says, yeah, I've liked him since his Brooklyn days. Yeah, he's a good player. So I will miss him. And there it is, the Troy Brown signing. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is also returning, which I'm very happy about. Vince Germano says he's a very solid mate. Nice pickup, and thank you very much, Vince. Yep, and then there's the shake that Milton. Vince Germano says another nice pickup. Yep, thank you very much, Vince. Anthony Edwards, $250 million max contract. It's actually $260 million. Called a bargain by NBA fans. No comments there, interestingly enough. And there's the last one, which I agree with. I just simply wrote amen. Bob Cousy has words for those who hate on old-era basketball. Bob Cousy says, who gives a darn if we played plumbers and firefighters? At least we didn't play against a bunch of TikTok dancers and Twitch streamers. We played against men. Agree 1,000%. Just the word TikTok makes my blood curl. I'm not kidding. It's, And it's not because, oh, it's because it's from China or anything like that. So I'll just leave that kind of personal talk somewhere else. I don't need to get into the China stuff on this show. But as for just people, I don't know, the me first, look at me dancing 24 hours a day on TikTok. That's what I don't like about TikTok. It's just a bunch of me first, look at me, lovers of themselves, as it says in the Bible. Yeah, there's a lot of lovers of themselves out there that want everybody to look at them constantly. That's why I don't like TikTok, the arrogance of it. Anyhow, now I can wrap up the show here with Fred Mithen saying he left out injured courtside fashion models. Amen. That was a great, 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 great comment. Thank you, Fred. That was awesome. And that does wrap up the fan interaction. That does wrap up the show. Final quick stuff. Don't be afraid to call into the show via audio submission, as Tanae and Vince have done in the past. I believe Wayne Hunt did once, and one or two other people. I would love to hear from Benzo sometime. That'd be cool. Twitter is totally fine. But if you ever want to put your voice on the show as well, simply use audio submission. You know, use a voice recorder on your smart device. Basically open it, press record, talk into it for however amount of time you want. As long as it's not like 3 hours or anything crazy. But however long you want, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. 10 minutes might be excessive, but if you want to, if you have a lot to say, I'm not going to get too mad. As long as it's good content. Usually probably 2 to 5 is what people do. And then you email it into paladinolive@yahoo.com. It'll be in the show description. Again, remember the Twitter and the Facebook, they're all in the show description. With that said, thank you so much for listening. God bless all of you, and we will talk to you in the next few weeks or so, and maybe, who knows, if there's a big story, we'll be on it. One last quick shout-out is to, again, Scott Doherty from Flip to Finch, on Facebook. Do check that out. Do give him a follow, or do join the page, follow, like, whatever it is. Join in the conversation. He's a good guy, and so are the other people on there. It's a nice webpage. It's a lot better. It's a lot better Facebook page than so many of the other ones where people are just kind of, you know, lecturing you about you're not a good enough Wolves fan. That one's a bit more calm, I'd have to say. So it's not as rube-like at the end of the day. With that said, again, like I said, we'll be on it if any story comes out. And until next time, go Timberwolves.